in town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
All right, welcome back to Common Folk.
That's right, podcast for the people, by the people. Got some more people back on.
Lots of people around here lately.
Aren't you guys full? We just had lunch. But I feel like really full.
It's Mexican
food.
Do
you feel like you want to go to bed? Like Thanksgiving
I'll
full?
Take a little nap.
No?
I've kind of gotten to the point where every time I eat, I want to go to bed.
Oh, okay. That's probably a problem.
Is that a 40-year-old thing?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like normally I don't eat that much lunch, so I'm going to count that as lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
It was really good. I would totally go back for those quesadillas.
Oh, hell yeah. No, that was really good food.
I liked the Coronas.
The Coronas, yeah. That's always fun. Like, you know, when in Mexico, that's right. The saying, or, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Do they serve anything other than cervezas?
I did see some American brews there.
Margaritas.
Yeah, margaritas.
That's true.
But you're saying like there's Tecate, there was Dos Equis, Coronas.
Meant like you can't get Coke or anything, can you? It's just cerveza.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well,
you can?
I think so. Real Coke made with real sugar.
I saw it in the cupboard, that really sugary Coca-Cola.
It's probably better for you.
Probably. It's not that fake shit.
The real deal.
Yeah. Yeah, but so guess who's back?
Back again.
Shady's back.
It's Kyle.
It's Kyle.
But not Shady.
Is this the third or the second?
I was trying to figure that out.
I think it's three or four. He's the third Pete offender.
Isn't
that what we said?
So in the past, he's been our resident financial conversation.
Yeah.
Financial
expert.
I think so.
Yeah, we talked about succession planning on the farm, you know, kind of what you got going on and how that looks and how to get your stuff in order.
Well, and, you know, I always like to go to a resource of somebody that I think might know something about it and cropped up. Yeah, oh, wow, I have somebody and learn. I don't know. but that story about those alfalfa fields taking all the groundwater in Arizona. And I just knew Kyle was a big alfalfa guy, so I wanted to get his take on it. And
we did talk about that last time, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. So that was a big one reason why I wanted to get Kyle on initially.
All the hay that was getting shipped to Saudi Arabia or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, and you ship hay. You still do.
Yeah, we do. Not at the level we did at one time, but it's, for a long time, we shipped to probably close to 20 states. So, yeah.
Wow.
None to Saudi Arabia?
None. My goal was always to be an international producer, and I haven't achieved that yet. So.
An international man of mystery?
Yeah. Pull out all the early 2000s references. I love it.
That's got to be a movie, right?
Austin Powers.
Okay. I'm like, I'm not the movie guru. It's these two, they start quoting lines, and I have no clue what they're talking about.
We talked about Austin Powers with one of our last guests.
He even did a quote.
Yeah. Love the movie.
But that's pretty cool. When we were on that episode, were we talking about how they were like trying to figure out how to pump all the seawater up to Arizona?
Is that what it was?
Was it that on that episode? They got like a desalination plant. They're trying to figure out how to irrigate.
Okay.
Arizona.
Well, they're irrigating out of the groundwater, and they're totally draining the aquifer.
Yeah, and like the cities don't have anything. Yeah.
Phoenix and Flagstaff are going to run out of water.
So they're desalinating
seawater
from, you know, thousands of miles away, and then just building piles of salt.
That's perfect. I think, just irrigate from the ocean to the middle of a state that's a desert.
And you got straight salt as your byproduct. Yeah. You can reuse that.
Yeah. All the piping. And
it sounds efficient. You know, don't grow alfalfa in South Dakota or Nebraska. Just do it in Arizona and use ocean water.
It's one of those things. We talked about that a number of times before, too. Like, you need to do what the area is built to do.
Well, you
that's part of the problem of man, is that we try to force everything to be the way that we think it should be.
Right. And there's, I kind of like it in a way where our ego will be like, nope, I'm reshaping this land. I'm doing what I want to do, you know?
Yeah.
But you always tie it back to food. Like, if you live by the ocean, have a steady diet of fish. If you live in the middle of Nebraska, God damn it, eat the beef that your local guy is raising, you know? Yep. But no.
And don't expect, you know, tomatoes in the dead of winter unless you've canned them.
Yeah, see, and that, oh, wow. Now you're going on a whole, you're totally crazy. That means you have to grow it, can it, plan ahead.
Yeah.
No, I just want instant gratification.
I just think there's something to like those, like those seasonal diets and those regional diets.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say that I abide by them, but I just think there's something to it.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, I still, yeah, I say one thing and do another.
Oh, what was going on over there?
Yeah, well, I'm just supporting local farmer. Local,
okay.
You know. Lunch carried on to the podcast room.
Right. So, no, what's your feeling on that, Kyle? I think it's kind of healthy to rotate your diet with the seasons. You know, then you don't get too much of one thing on top of another.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I'm big on the regional thing. We were in San Diego a couple weeks ago, and we eat some seafood when we're on the coast. And, and I love beef in Nebraska, and so... I think just the balance of that is perfectly natural and normal.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have much experience with beef in your background?
Yeah. I think even before the commercial alfalfa, we were a beef farm first, which is kind of, as Andy would know, in Boyd County, kind of everything revolves around half pasture and half row crop. So you almost have to kind of have, you know, you're part of beef whether you like it or not, one way or the other.
Do you, I don't know if you know anything about this or not, but do you have any feeling on grain finished versus grass finished? And well, the reason I ask is like, I'm definitely seeing more and more people are going straight to the producers. We've been doing it for a number of years. You know, we're buying direct from the rancher, from upstream is where we're getting all of our stuff. We talked to those boys a few times. But there's more and more of them popping up around in Nebraska and a lot of really good ones. And I think you had commented on it, Morgan. There was on one of these Facebook pages, local, the other day, someone said, hey, I want to get half a beef. What's the suggestion? And then all these ones were coming out. But then the lady went on to say, but it has to be grass finished. And I'm pretty sure that she doesn't know what she's talking about. But I went on there, like there was a bunch of different comments. And then I shared a, it was like a reel from somebody that we know that was explaining, here's why this doesn't matter and here's why you need to think about this. You know, these animals aren't getting this, they're not getting poisoned, they're not getting this stuff down their throats, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is why it works, whatever. But I think a lot of people just don't get, they just don't get it.
It's a brilliant marketing ploy, maybe.
Well, and it, people also don't realize corn is classified as a grass. Not sure, everybody recognizes that, but I hear a lot of the noise around grass-fed finished beef. I don't have a personal preference that's, you know, I'm not going to fight somebody on it. Generally, what we eat is corn-fed. I have had grass-finished beef. I would say the taste of it isn't to my liking, but it's okay. It's not bad or wrong. It's like eating buffalo. I mean, they've finished on grass. And so there's some pros. And I think it is just a little bit leaner because of the starch in beef.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of have, you know, a mature grain crop has a lot of starch in it. So you're going to have a little more marbling. I'm a believer you also need fat in your diet. You know, there's an element where you have to have a certain healthy kind of fat that finishes the diet out. And so I'm okay with pork fat, beef fat, kind of all your Midwestern fats.
I think a lot of people don't realize, too, like the whole process. In an episode that we did previous to this, we were talking to FBN and Charles Barron, and we were talking about their sustainability initiatives.
Yeah.
And the things that go on with cattle and what they do for the land, you know, when you take all these row crop farms and then they harvest and then they'll fence it and they'll put the cattle out there and the cattle will clean up the leftover grain. The cattle will, you know, spread manure, you know, spread natural fertilizer, organic matter. I mean, all the things that come along with it.
Yep.
That's all part of those sustainability practices. Right. And people don't realize that. This is part of the process. Like, this is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if what's truly going on is an animal is getting forced fed and not able to move a specific diet that is built to do nothing but just make it fat and sit there, I guess you could take up some issue with that. But that's not the way that most of this works.
Are you talking about like veal?
Or like
in California and pork, they had a and I don't know where the law is today, but I think they had a certain parameter for crate space that they had to be able to have. Like you couldn't traditionally crate hogs anymore because that's what they were doing. They were just eating to live, and they had, you know, just a small. And I guess I'm probably a little neutral on that as well. I don't know enough of the details of it, but I know that, that was a big issue in California.
Yeah, I was just curious to see that on a local, you know, group of people talking about it and how important that was to them. And I could just tell by the comments that it was all marketing. Like they were just like, this is what they had been told was best, and this is all they want.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
No, that reminds me of I always play poker on Thursday nights with a group of guys. And these are Omaha guys, right? You know, sharp, real sharp.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And one guy made the mention in passing. He goes, oh, I'm picking up steaks, a half even. It's all grass-fed, not that corn-finished shit. I'm like, what? what are you basing that on? Like, I got right into it because, you know, like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, you know, to your point, I've talked to plenty of people in Boyd County that are like, grass-fed's the worst, it tastes terrible, this and that. And I'm like, so everything I've ever heard growing up is totally contradicts what you just said there in between poker hands. Why do you believe that? Where did that come from? You know, and can he even base that? Like, could he tell the difference between a corn-fed finished steak and a grass-fed? Can you? Oh, yeah, I could. Yeah, I could. No, yeah, okay. All right, that's never mind.
I think it's kind of funny, too. I forgot about that because we dealt with, you know, when we were working in the biologicals and the plant, you know, science and so on and so forth, and I remember them talking about corn is actually a grass. Like, it's in that family. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of funny when you think about that. Yeah, like, that you want grass finished? Yeah, we got it. It's grass finished right here. Just has little yellow kernels on it.
It's
extra starch. And it tastes better.
Yeah. Well, I'd say the only way I could give it some credence are those other guys, once again, talking to people that know something, certified Piedmontese. Now, that's a specialty breed of cattle from Italy. And they're claiming that there is no difference. So, okay, I'm going to take your word for it until, you know, I do a side-by-side, or I'll just do like Kyle here and say, like, I'm neutral on it. Like, I don't know enough. But I'm not going to tell everybody at the poker table, you know, that it's shit. You know, so.
No, and their beef, by the way, is very good.
It is.
We've had it. And it's great. It's good texture, all that stuff, whether it's full-on grass or or grain finished or whatever.
Well, and that was the reason they were getting away from grain finished, because they couldn't tell the difference. They didn't even want to have the argument or the battle of grain finished versus grass finished.
Yeah.
So they had both. They just offered you both. And then they're like, you know what? There's no difference. Like, it's passing all these blind taste tests. Yeah. So let's do it.
I just thought that was interesting. That was a tangent. Yeah. But it makes me crazy, which is what moves us into the topic we're here for today.
Because you're crazy?
Yeah, all these things make me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And full of anxiety.
Yeah, no, we wanted to talk a little bit about mental health today. We found out that Kyle, you know, not only are you heavily involved in the financial world, you know, and working with families and farms and all kinds of folks in that arena, but that a passion of yours surrounds mental health and looking at kind of involving that in your business. And we just got to talking about it, like, hey, this is a hot topic. You hear about it all the time,
right?
And it fits so many different arenas in our world. So we said, let's dig in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think it directly impacts things that you wouldn't even necessarily think of, you know, and it's tough to recognize that.
And it even involves our prior topic around nutrition. I think nutrition balance is, you know, probably one of the five or six pillars around mental health balance, you know, in terms of different areas of your life. I mean, there's other ones too, but, you know, how much protein you get, how much carbs, what type of fat, all that stuff can affect your mood, can affect, you know, a lot of different areas of life.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. And once again, you don't even really think about it that, you know, drinking Double Dew, Mountain Dew.
Can't believe all these high schoolers. I mean, you can't hardly find one without carrying a Mountain Dew around. And I was that kid, too. Yeah. a lot of the sports season, sometimes we'd cut out for a little bit, but we would always celebrate with a very high sugary drink. Other towns did what they did. And, you know, fortunately, I didn't get into that too much in high school, but Mountain Dew might be just as bad.
Oh, yeah. Doug Williamson would always have a bottle in the in the dugout.
Oh yeah,
like we wouldn't even have water in the baseball dugout.
Yeah, but those guys had. I mean, they would drink 3 or 4 Mountain Dews a day. It's a wonder we don't have a whole culture of diabetes.
Oh, and they were phenomenal athletes. I do want to shout out Clark Woodruff, good buddy of yours, right?
He was a Mountain Dew addict too. Well, me and him were really in on that. Oh yeah, we drank a lot of Mountain Dew.
Well,
it's just like, are we really having this?
No, I drank a lot of Mountain Dew when I was kids, but I was actually thinking about something. I'm waiting for Andy to finish because I got something to add.
Okay. Oh God, it's going to be some other quote.
Well, this is new information to me. In the baseball dugout, it came up, and I said, "All right, well, let's all go get some Mountain Dews." And it really was; it was Mountain Dew. And Clark said, "No. Football season's too close. I don't drink Mountain Dew." And I just started giving him shit. I was like making fun of him, like hardcore, like, "I'm fat and irresponsible. You should be too."
Well, and what Clark was saying, what he didn't say, but what I know him to have been saying, we would not drink pop in the preseason or in season until Friday night after the game, and then maybe Saturday. And then you went on a 5 or 6 day.
Yeah.
You know, hiatus of it again. Oh, and what's so funny, I got to college and met people in other schools and rivals in some cases, even people we played down in the playoffs. And, you know, they would, in some cases, almost come to games tuned up from booze in a playoff game. You know, and I'm kind of adding, these aren't specific, but you got that feel. I was like, geez, we worked our butt off and you guys... Yeah. Just show up and beat us in partying. Some cases, you know.
Yeah.
Probably a little like, dumb.
I always felt that way with your guys' track team, you know, Kurt Williamson and Doug. Those assholes are drinking Mountain Dew in the tent, and I'm terrible at flexibility. We're stretching, we're working out. We gave up soda, you know, for track.
Yeah.
And they just beat the shit out of us, like not even a race.
It was definitely the Mountain Dew.
I
don't think Doug and Kurt followed the same rules we did in football either.
Do you remember in
they were highly successful, though, yes, in their own right.
Do you remember in Talladega Nights when they're sitting around the dinner table? And the kid's like,
I told you.
He's talking to Grandpa.
Yeah, I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that was us.
We're the Mountain Dew generation, I think.
Yeah. What I was going to say, I don't know the exact specifics of this, but when we lived in Tennessee, I was told that in Appalachia, so which is basically where that hurricane just came through, a good part of it.
The flooding.
Yeah. That PepsiCo was required to supplement health bills or health insurance.
Oh, wow.
In Appalachia because of the effects of Mountain Dew. It was specifically because so much Mountain Dew was consumed in that area.
That they could tie the actual health risk or what happened.
So Pepsi had to give the community money to pay for their medical bills.
Oh my gosh.
Basically lost a class action?
I guess.
Sounds like global warming. Not that we're going into that world. When you talk about redistribution of...
Yeah. It's like an Aaron Brockovich movie from Mountain Dew.
I thought you were going to go in a lot more fun area where Mountain Dew is created by moonshiners over there.
Oh.
You
know?
Yeah, no.
Yeehaw or Yahoo or whatever.
That is its originator name, right? Yeah. Like that's where the name came from. It's Mountain Dew, it's moonshine, whatever, but... Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah, no, and you can definitely see how any, like, we're making jokes about Mountain Dew or whatever, but all these things, how those can absolutely have an effect, you know, on your mental state.
Sure.
What,
of course.
Kyle, you were telling us, you know, we went and had lunch, we were chatting a little bit, and you were telling us that this has kind of become like a passion of yours and something that, you know, you think a lot about and you're wanting to get more involved with. Like, can you pinpoint where that came from for you? Like, what piqued your interest with that?
Yeah, so I think in the mid-teens, you know, owning a farm, fairly large business, 6 full-time employees, 4 seasonal, and, you know, learning how to manage things a lot differently from just a one-owner traditional farm, I'm starting to have a lot of stresses coming at me from different levels. And my wife, bless her heart, set up a 2-day. She knows I love like business dates, so we'll get away. We'll go to a conference or, you know, go to a seminar, and you know, she'll do her thing, and I'll go kind of learn to about business or about the next thing. And so she set this thing up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and we went to this guy named Keith Kochner, who's I would call him kind of a life coach speaker. He put on like a 2-day event, and I was just in the front row absorbing everything. And he really changed my thinking about business and about kind of – he basically tapped into mental health as something that people don't often see, but it's a part of who they are. And we all have emotional health. It's just a matter of, you know, are you managing it well, or are you letting it manage you, so to speak? And so that was definitely a point. And then you guys were probably familiar with the 2019 flooding in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. That was a time period. So from 2018, from that business seminar to that point, I started changing my behaviors. A lot of just daily habits changed at that point. I mean, just early morning devotions, regular exercise, paying attention to nutrition, drinking more water. Hydration became a part of it. Reading became a part of it. I'm going to put a plug in for a book called Outlive. We can get into that a little bit more later. But anyway, back to so this 2019 flooding came about, and I saw neighbors in tears that were in their 60s, 70s, 80s years old in our area. And, you know, we had a business where, you know, 100% of our product had to leave the county. Mm-hmm. And at that time, 3 of the 4 routes out of our county were no longer the bridges were gone, legit, just the mm-hmm. floods took them out. And it was interesting because the year and a half earlier, I had changed my behaviors. And so 2019 came, I saw what I had been dealing with for a few years of depression and anxiety and uncertainty, insecurity. I saw it in my neighbors. And fortunately, we had a chance to go to Washington, D.C. through kind of a leadership group in Nebraska first, and then we were fortunate enough to get on the National Committee for American Farm Bureau Young Farmers. And we got all this training, and Tiffany wanted to go see our senators. And so she wanted to, like, use this new training, and I was shot. It was like 4 in the afternoon. We'd been at meetings since 6 a.m., and I was like, no, let's go see the sights of Washington. And she's like, no, we gotta go see our senators and try to. So we lined up meetings with them, and so I'm just kind of had it, and I like to kind of cut through the bull a little bit and just kind of get to the point. And so we're in there with Deb Fisher, and she's asking us about our farm and neighbors, and I just said, you know, the biggest thing I see is not the cows and not the bridge and not the water. I think mental health is really impacting rural Nebraska. And Tiffany, I think I'll be fine if I share this, she was almost appalled that I would publicly say that. Like, she was just like, you can't say that. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, you cannot bring this up. And so she's like kicking me under the table, like, shut your mouth. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay, well, we won't talk about it. Yeah, bridges, floods, water, bad. Yeah. So I just kind of say the narrative that everybody's saying, but they're not really saying the real issues. And yeah, I knew that.
The underlining. Mm-hmm.
So we kind of go, and Ben Sasse was a senator at that time. And so we had another meeting lined up with him, and we get out in the hallway, and Tiff's just letting me have it. She's like, you got to bang the drum of the people that taught us this stuff. You can't bring up your own personal issues. You got, you know, this is you. This isn't everybody else, mm-hmm. you know. And we get into the meeting with Ben Sasse, and I'm kind of like, well, I guess I won't say anything. I'll let her do the talking. And so she starts telling Ben what's going on, and Ben goes, you know, probably what I'm most concerned with, how are the people doing? How is the mental health of your neighbors? And that came from Ben. So mm-hmm. Ben now is bringing that yeah. to us. And I look at her, and I'm just like,
touché.
Like, yeah. And she just, in her face, she concedes. She's just like, okay, let's talk about it. And so then we had a really good open dialogue on some of those neighbors that were crying. And these are millionaires that, you know, on land base and cattle, they're multi-million dollar estate owners. And they're in tears because they lost something.
Right.
And it's that isn't the issue, though. Some of it's deeper than that. And that's where that mental health component comes in. And so after some of that experience, I started speaking publicly about it through that same American Farm Bureau network, and then even the Nebraska network. I started going to conferences, and not as much to learn, but being asked to speak about mental health. And so kind of went around the country doing that a little bit. And it during COVID, we did some digital events and some Zoom stuff, but it kind of faded out there during COVID. And then even lately, I've been doing some small stuff just kind of within my work scope of, but more than willing to share about it. But that would be kind of to your point of a couple situations that really sprungboard me to be a little bit more open about it. And the more open that I was, the more I learned that these other business owners were going through the same thing. Yeah. They had the same issues. They just didn't have a mouthpiece to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that could be me to help them get some of those thoughts out, some of that communication out. And even to what you guys are doing as a podcast, I'm grateful to be on here to share some of that story, because I think I always say I hope there's just one person out there when I speak publicly that can use whatever we're talking about and grow from it.
That had to have been rewarding, not to do the I gotcha, you know, with Tiffany or, you know, your wife, but actually hearing a representative address that. And to the group too, right? Or was it just you two?
It was just us two at that time. Okay. They do a Nebraska breakfast. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that in Washington, D.C., where they'll have all five House and Senators. I think it's 4 or 5 days a week. Everybody who's from Nebraska or has an issue with Nebraska, they can come to a Nebraska breakfast. I don't even know where it's held anymore, but you can basically hear all five of them will give a short spiel on what they're working on. And it's kind of unique. Nebraska is, I think, one of two states that does that in Washington, D.C. with their representatives.
One of two states that uses the unicameral, right?
Right, yeah.
Or are we the only one now?
Is Maine still doing it? I'm not sure.
Last I heard, they were.
So we're probably two of them.
And that's it.
Yeah, and don't quote me on the number of states doing it, but it was a very few states that are that open with their constituents to where they're just daily wanting to share what they're working on, what they're doing. And it's kind of all of them. I mean, they all get along, and, you know, so we thought that was pretty cool.
Do you think with what you've learned about it and what you've seen that the mental health issues that we have and the problems and, you know, all the things, that it's something that's more recent, or is this something that's just been around forever and just hasn't been talked about?
I probably am in the camp that it's probably been around forever. I read a lot of history. You know, I think you go back into biblical times that there's components of this around situations in life. You know, you go back that far, a lot of the narratives aren't as specific and detailed. Some of them are, some of them aren't. I think it's been around forever. And the other thing, you know, you talk about or you learn about past presidents and some of their kids or some of their spouses. And a lot of times there was a lot of mental health in those households that get discounted. You know, oftentimes we look at the speeches or the decisions a leader made, but, and, you know, they might have had a kid that committed suicide and nobody ever talks about that. Right. Or they might have had a spouse that was in a mental institution for months at a time. Nobody knows about that. Unless you dig pretty deep, you don't hear those stories.
Yeah.
And we tend to, if it's not relevant to us at the moment, we tend to discount them and not take them overly serious.
Yeah, kind of marginalize it, brush it over. Like, you still got a job to do, you know, right. you're a public servant. You know, I don't care about your wife and what she's going through. You know?
Right.
Yeah. It's a taboo subject on so many different levels. And I do think it's good that we're at least addressing it. And I really like how we started it, talking about how food and your diet really does impact your brain.
So on that, this book Outlive that I quoted earlier, it goes through, and it was exposed to me through this same American Farm Bureau, some peers that I met, a guy recommended that. He was the chair. He actually speaks on, is it FDR? What's the radio? The ag radio or ag TV?
Red TV.
Yes.
RFD.
Yeah. He's done a lot of stuff on there. And anyway, he recommended this book on health, and it basically breaks down every diet that you could have possibly went through in your life, like the caloric diet where you're just calories in, calories out. He went through the high protein diet and no fat, no carbs. Well, then there's other diets that have only carbs.
Sure. You know?
And I can't remember all of the diets, but call it 7, 8, or 10 diets. Mm-hmm. And the book basically goes through each diet and kind of breaks out the good and breaks out the bad. And, you know, kind of as a summary, what I learned from it from just a health standpoint is – you got to kind of find what your body, what's right for you. I think balance is probably key. Mm-hmm. And so one diet's it's not like the book, you know, says, okay, the, you know, high protein is the winner. So all these other diets lose. It basically takes elements of each type of diet and says, you know, put in the good and if you can, mm-hmm. if it fits, you know, and so that was a good book in terms of nutrition and food to, you know, the farm to food conversation that I've used in my past and loved learning about.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And how do you have any thoughts on the current, it's not even called a pyramid anymore, but the food pyramid, like to me, it puts eggs as a dangerous food, but it had
cereal, chips, really? Or like
Cheerios was at the top, like it's as horrible. A healthy. It's like I thought, okay, like the book's out, not your book, but the book's out on the food pyramid.
It's because
the sugar
bought.
Industry had a lot to say on that.
Yeah,
and then they made a new one, and it's like even worse. It's like, nope, we're doubling down on it, boys and girls. Like,
wow. Yeah, I haven't seen the latest food pyramid. I know when I was growing up, bread was high on the. Mm-hmm. You know, you needed a lot of bread. My wife's a celiac, so she actually cannot have anything with wheat or gluten, and so puts out most pasta, bread, anything. And I've actually noticed, because our whole family diet has changed somewhat because of that, I'll get almost a little bit of a stomach ache eating buns, like a hamburger bun. And so I don't know why that is. Maybe it's mental. I don't know. But I've concluded that there is some adjutant in gluten.
Sure.
So the fad of gluten-free – there might be some science behind that too.
Yeah.
I eat gluten, don't get me wrong, but I do notice it, which is kind of odd.
When the gluten-free thing first started, like 7 or 8 years ago, and you started seeing it in restaurants, like, would you like that gluten-free? As a joke, I'd always say, no, I would actually like double the gluten, please. You know, they'd never know what to say to that. I was just kind of
my wife hates people like you.
I would never be her way to shoot.
Our daughter.
Like, that is not funny.
She can't. She's very sensitive. She doesn't have celiac, but she does not eat gluten at all either. It's really bad for her. But
I don't think bread and pasta is good for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think it does make you a little bit
sluggish.
Yeah.
What's interesting is wheat. What's more natural than wheat? I don't know. I mean, it is the least genetically engineered food that we grow, and it's the biggest problem.
But you're refining it.
That's the problem. Well, they say if you go over to Italy, you can eat pasta and you can have their bread. People that are celiac. Because
Tiff says that. That's our goal is to get over to Italy.
To go over there. She could eat anything over there.
And it's a whole nother conversation. But there's that whole camp that says, yeah, I got you. Like, that is a supernatural food and all those kinds of things. But the way we treat it in our agricultural system has poisoned it. And this is why it's bad for people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, there's that camp that
twists the marketing
that says that. And there's some things out there. You know, you hear some stuff about what's sprayed on it and when it's sprayed on it and when it's harvested and things like that. There may be something there. That's for everyone to kind of figure out for themselves, I guess. But
I'm shocked that eggs are not on the high. I mean, to me, eggs are a superfood.
I don't know how you beat. Yeah.
I can tell you when I have an egg, just an egg alone, I feel better.
Yeah. We were joking a little bit earlier when, you know, at the beginning of the podcast, Morgan was like, don't you guys all just want to go take a nap?
Which I keep yawning. I think, it's the tequila.
Well, look, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm getting at. It literally is what we put in our body. I mean,
it is.
When I when I said earlier, like, oh, I just always want to go to sleep after I eat, I was kind of joking, but in a way, that is a lot of the times what I eat, I'm ready to go to sleep. But you know when you've eaten something that was just,
or drink. Mm-hmm.
It was light, it was clean, mm-hmm. it was easy, you're done eating it, you don't even really feel, you don't feel full, but you don't feel hungry, you feel right. fine, you're off, you're moving. Like, you know the difference of the stuff yeah. that you put in there. And then if you directly correlate that to your mental state, I mean, obviously. So, like, yeah. right now, if you had to do some kind of high-performance thinking and something, oh, you know, you had to solve some
no
problems
way.
And shit like that,
I'm
like,
out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you're in bad shape. Yeah, but if you had had
problems, I love that.
This yeah. this other, you know, whatever diet that, mm-hmm. that sat lightly and, yeah. and you feel nimble and boom, you're ready to go, you know, you have your healthy lunch snack or mm-hmm. whatever the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, of course, like, yeah. you think about it like that, it has a direct effect
well, I mean, you,
on your mental
yeah,
state.
Yeah, and you think about it, it's very basic. People are like, you are what you eat. How many times have you heard that? But when you actually break it down, yeah.
It's just
you
true.
Eat a bunch yeah. of fries or you yeah. eat crappy, you're going to feel nasty. You mm-hmm. eat an apple, you yeah. feel bad. I mean, it's just, it is. Just, it's very basic, but it just, for some reason, the relationship people have with food
mm-hmm.
is kind of screwy.
It goes hand in
hand.
And
then it messes up with your brain and yep. so many different things.
Yeah.
Well, and I think kind of that cliche, if I don't, for lack of better words, it, you know, you are what you eat. We've all heard that for
yeah.
kind of ever.
Ever.
And it's like, until you start having digestional or mental health or physical health, until it starts directly affecting you, some of that stuff doesn't, at least for me, it never mm-hmm. hit home. Mm-hmm. And now it's like I pay attention to
yeah.
almost every component. I mean, it's like a daily effort to just pay attention mm-hmm. to what I'm doing for health. And I pulled something up here I would share with you guys if mm-hmm. you have the stomach
yeah.
for it.
Yeah, go
ahead. Oh, so, we have a stomach for it.
So it's kind of my rough playbook. It gets adjusted probably not monthly but maybe quarterly. I always work in financial quarters
terms.
Or yeah yeah so it's this the nerd that comes out, but in general this is what I do try to do on a daily, and it's not every day for sure. There's one component that's for sure not, but it's
like when you go to lunch with the common folk and
yeah everything gets blown yeah. out of the water. Yeah.
We messed his day up.
So I try to drink 100 ounces of water a day, which is about half of your body weight. There's a lot of different, you know, people have different mm-hmm. Ways of doing that, but that's my goal. You mentioned hitting 40 earlier. Ever since I hit 40, I've had trouble running. So now I try to walk a half hour to an hour and a half a day, depending on kind of what I have time, what's scheduled. And that's something that's really a must, because there's some sunshine. I usually try to do at least half or all of that outside. Used to be more running. Like I said, when I hit 40, it just changed a lot of things in that area. And then I like to lift weights of some sort, probably, you know, 2 to 4 days a week. And again, I you guys probably can tell I have a little bit of a cold today, or I've had it for about 2 weeks, so I don't think it's contagious. But I don't, you know, once you kind of have to give yourself a break once mm-hmm. in a while. So lately it's just been more walking and sunshine. I do daily devotions in the morning, try to do early morning, kind of get a little piece of a plan for the day. I actually journal, and this was something that I kind of started to do with that Keith Kochner training and some of his coaching. The funnest part about that is a mutual friend of ours, Jake Peets, who I'm not even sure where he's at right now, but he was, last I knew, he was with
coaching
the Los Angeles Rams. I think he now is with the Seahawks.
Okay.
Anyway, he did a short presentation for a group that we were working with, and he said he journals and he would take notes on a daily basis of his life, so to speak. And what was really cool about that is if you do that consistently for a long period of time, you can actually go back a year ago and look at your journal, your notebook, whatever you use mm-hmm. to do that, mm-hmm. and kind of read what you were thinking about, what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And so I've probably done that for six, seven years now. And so the journaling is kind of hard. You kind of force it. Sometimes you don't really know what to write about, what you talk about. Sometimes it's a prayer for me. It's just kind of putting out there what I want to happen for the day, and areas where I can maybe be of better service to someone or something, or or work or whatever, family, kids. And so, but what's really cool is about once a year, maybe twice a year, I'll do like a 1 year look back, 5 year look back, maybe a 3 year. And you can actually see progress.
That would be cool.
Of like, well, you hope it's progress. I wouldn't say it's always been progress, but once in a while I've looked back and I've said, wow, I was in a dark place that day. You know, let's say it was October 1st, 2020, 2020, right after COVID, or right, I think it was COVID 21 or 20. I think it was 20.
We're in 20, yeah.
So you're in COVID and you just got your whole entire farm and county flooded out. And there were some times in there that were pretty dark of like, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this? So journaling, I think, is huge. Nutrition is a big part of it. I've started to use a Fitbit app where I basically do – I try to get – so the metrics in the app are 45% carbs, 35% fat, and like under 20% protein. That's hard to do. It involves a lot of fruit. So, but that's my metric. If I can get close to those parameters – and I've kind of gotten to the point where I just like to get the I don't have to have the same percentages. I just like to have my carbs higher than my fat and my protein lower than both of them. Just more of a general, like, so I actually track my food. Again, I am a big nerd, so from a number standpoint, and as you guys can see. I throw this one in there. Sex is actually a very healthy, important thing to your mental health and marriage. And there's some components about it that help at work. There's a lot of health components with that. And so I always just jokingly say as much as possible.
Of course,
it's not a daily event for, you know, I don't think it is for many.
Go back to your journal, like, Tiffany.
Yeah. we're off here. So, but no, I keep that in there. And I sent this list to a good friend of mine that is kind of, you know, being introduced to that counseling along with financial planning. And just because I know them that well. And some of this stuff, it's like if people don't know, they're not going to try it. And I'm not saying that one specifically, but a lot of these – I always say if you can implement one or two of something, you've started a habit change that's going to benefit you. Generally speaking, it's going to make it positive. And I've been trying to do no alcohol, of course, being around you guys.
Once again, you go to lunch with the common folk again.
So sorry about that.
It's kind of a Lynch Boyd County thing, too. Like right. When you start coming down to Lynch, like, sorry, here.
And give that up. And in reality, I'm probably more like I try to keep it to about once a week.
Okay.
You know, in the summertime, we get to doing a lot of like baseball stuff and golf stuff, and it can get a little out of control in the summer. And then I feel like this time of the year I got to kind of start reeling it back in. And and alcohol is one of the main, like, from a weight gain. It's a battle for me to stay even thin at all. And wouldn't say that I am, but I work hard at it, I guess. Alcohol is, according to that book, Outlive, it's one of the major inhibitors to. And I don't know if it's a chemistry thing, but something in it affects your nutrition of weight gain and that kind of thing. Yeah. So, and I don't think everybody has these same genetic rules, but these are the ones I follow. And then I try to read a physical book once a month and just kind of throughout the month. And then also I try to do an audio book I even document a little bit of that learning along the way. So it is a lot, and I wouldn't say I'm 100% at all these things. But if I can do maybe 85 to 95% of those things on a weekly basis, generally speaking, I am a better person to the loved ones that I have. I'm more honorable at work. I'm more fun to be around.
Yeah.
And so, you know, nutrition's a big part of that.
Sure.
So.
And it all goes back to your mental health. You're in a better space mentally when you check off your list.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So. For sure.
I think, you know, a lot of folks, and you kind of answered that at the end there. I was going to ask you, do you ever focus on your family or your friends or whatever? And as you said there, actually, it's almost kind of the opposite.
It is. It's the opposite. The culture in our world moves so fast. We're kind of trained to be like, you know, we're supposed to work from 8 to 6, let's just say, an extreme office day and half-hour lunch break. you know, that industry is dying because they're getting overweight. I mean, and I'm just going to say in banking, finance, insurance, you know, I'll go to these conferences and physical health, emotional health, mental health is always one of the top attended breakouts because people are trying to crack the code. We've been kind of ingrained into this office setting that's, I think actually COVID was a good thing and disrupted a lot of that. And it's created a lot of flexibility in a lot of these industries.
Right.
To where you can actually kind of create your own schedule and serve people better. Yeah. And so
it definitely got a lot of people questioning, like, so why am I doing the 9 to 5?
Yeah.
Why am I doing that?
Yeah. Why am I here from 3 to 5? And there's, you know, there's a point where there's just got to be some disruption in your schedule that is positive for everybody.
You know, you were going through your list there, and a podcast we just talked about, Sean Ryan was on Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was talking about helping his buddy. Like, you were, it was about the same story. And he's an old military guy, so very blunt, very direct, you know, colorful language.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something like, because I started laughing, goes, dude was in a dark place, so I got him on this and went home, banged his wife, started playing with the kid.
He did say that, I remember that. Yeah.
But he's right, you know, of course you're in a better place mentally, and your wife's happier, your family's happier.
Sex is the number one. I mean, to change your immediate health, it's probably the number one thing that can, you know, according to the books that I've read, that's probably the number one thing that can kind of change that mood quickly. I'm not saying that's always the healthiest way, but I mean that is a mood fixer in general. Mm-hmm. And to speak to your point about kids and family, generally, if you're healthy, you're going to prioritize the right things. Mm-hmm. And so in my life, I am loving my kids. I love coaching right now. I'm helping out with different components with the community. I'm a mentor for the teammates program. I mean, there's things that I absolutely love about my life right now. Probably the biggest challenge is you know, just getting the world to adapt to my schedule rather than me, you know, kind of adapting to this culture that is obviously unhealthy for most people in general.
Yeah.
So what do you mean when you say the world adapt to your schedule?
Well, like clients and scheduling, you know, we have to do that on a timeline that works with my health. Otherwise, I can't give them the best Kyle. Mm-hmm. I can't give them the best financial plan. I can't give them the best succession plan. I can't get them around the right people. And so, you know, it comes to a point where if you have the right thing, and there's some more to that list. Andy and I are going to visit a little bit after this about some financial training and some modules that we're kind of working on. And some of that has that mental health component to where, you know, giving people your best, you know. And I think if you have a lot of these priorities in place, the default is you're your best you. And you're going to provide that to the people you serve. But, you know, we're a service industry, and, you know, you got to think of it that way. You're serving people at whatever capacity. But do we want them to have a dog-tired, spent, you know, overweight Kyle? Sometimes they get that. Don't get me wrong. It happens. But or do you want them to have an energetic, enthusiastic, positive, bring them a great plan, Kyle, which I hope we're doing.
Yeah, a brain that's not dehydrated, you know, from alcohol.
I was thinking about some things earlier when we were talking about just mental health in general, and I feel like we're hearing more and more about it all over the place. And to be honest, in some scenarios, I feel like I'm trying to figure out how to put it nicely, like where people are just like almost getting over the top with it, where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, mental health this and mental health that, and like I just feel like sometimes like
they're using it as a crutch to like justify them being pussies.
There you go. I guess you said it. I was trying to dance around it, but
Andy just cut to the chase.
I do feel like to piggyback on that. I do feel like sometimes it's like people are just being a bunch of pussies. Like, just go out and do the work. Like, quit talking about it, man. And that could be wrong, but I want to be honest here. So, and I want to ask you, do you think there is a world or there are scenarios where sometimes the focus on mental health can get in the way of getting required things done? Or is it your view that this can always be a piece of this? We just have to be smarter about how we're incorporating it.
I would probably answer that in two ways. With me specifically, I run a pretty tight calendar, and to get onto it, you've got to dodge my health pretty severely, because I know I only have so much capacity. Mm-hmm. And I want that capacity maximized. And so the people around me, whether they're, you know, in the past employees or even people in my firm, you know, at some point the work gets done, because I mean, that's another thing. I track all my hours and I specify them to which business they're part of. I did that a little bit with family just to make sure I was keeping priorities in the right place. It becomes too much analytics. Mm-hmm. We need Charles back to help us figure out some of that automated platform type stuff. But yeah, I think there's that component. I mean, I'm one of eight kids, you know, number five. I think there's an element, the work does have to get done. I think that, I don't see what you're saying a lot in the people I'm with, but there is that perception out there for sure. I think mm-hmm. I even wonder with, you know, my daughter had dance from 6:20 in the morning to school. And then they had, I think, golf after school, and she's a golfer, not volleyball. And then they had like speech or one acts from mm-hmm. like 7 to 9. And okay, you know, that's a heavy work day, right? And so from 6:30 to basically 10 by the time you get to bed, and you're 14 years old.
And you might have homework and all of this stuff on top of it.
Yeah, and that you maybe tried to fit a little homework in there. To me, we're setting that kid up for failure. Mm-hmm. We're setting them up for mm-hmm. mental health issues. Now, is she grinding through it, getting the work done? Like you said, she's plowing through it. Yes, she is, and so are all the other kids. But what are we training them for? You know, mm-hmm. what are we getting out of this? We're getting tired, exhausted, yeah. burned out kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so tired, exhausted, burned out employees are just as bad.
Yeah.
And I've one thing when I was farming commercial hay, what I could never understand, I could never get I always had trouble with people on weekends, you know, I ended up working a lot of weekends, but I couldn't understand it, because I was always willing to give them other weekends off, and we had a schedule, but nobody wanted to work weekends. And a farm has to have weekend. It's mm-hmm. not an option. You've got a farm on the weekends. Now, I am a believer in one day a week you need to rest, but America thinks weekends are 3 days now, mm-hmm. 3.5 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem that I see, is people – want to say they're being pussies, using your mm-hmm. guys' words, but the reality is mm-hmm. those are the same people that are telling you that they're not available Thursday right. noon on until Monday.
Right.
I mean, so I think there's kind of hypocritical kind of from both components where yeah. I have a philosophy in my life. I want to be a productive citizen 6 days a week. If I can provide that value to my wife, to my family, to my business, to anyone around me. And I'm going to tell you guys, that's uncommon. You talk yeah. to anyone and they're trying to get a 3 day a week work week. They're trying to get a 4. I mean, it's a real problem. And we've talked about immigration on this podcast a little bit, or in the, you mm-hmm. know, just in coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason we need immigration in this country, And I'm just going to say it on air here. You guys might get some bad feedback.
Some pushback.
Americans only like to work 3.5 days a week.
Yeah.
And there's a business community that I work with, and we talk about the concept of hiring 2-for-1, because Americans that are privileged do not want to work more than that.
Mm.
And in some ways, they can get their 40 hours a week in and go home.
Yeah.
And yeah. so... you know, when you think of immigration, you know, those people come into this country for better opportunity and for work. There's a reason that there is that. There's an opportunity to make real money working 6 or 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And they're just capitalizing on that. So I don't know that we're doing it in the right way yet politically, right, but I do feel strongly that there's a gap here which us all kind of privileged mm-hmm. Americans are missing. We're complaining yeah. about them, but they're coming here to do the work and yeah. that we don't want to do in a lot of cases.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. Yeah.
And so, for me, it's just about being productive 6 days a week. And I think that way I don't become complacent mm-hmm. in myself. But I do those things 6 to 7 days a week generally.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, think back to what Ben was saying. What we've talked about before in the past is sometimes when you talk about your issues so much, then you're just marinating in them. You're making them worse. Not saying therapy isn't needed for some mm-hmm. people, but you just continue to, you're just continuing to talk about it. You talk about it, talk about it. And then it just escalates. What, so I think
that's exactly what I wanted to say. And that's what I thought you were going to take his conversation.
I actually do. Yeah. You know, I want to comment on that. I started to talk about, so in farming also we had rain days in Nebraska, not lately, of mm-hmm. course, but we would have these rain days, and I would always tell my people, hey guys, when it rains, we'll rest, we'll take a break, and I've always been very generous on break days every other weekend. I expect my people to be productive citizens 6 days a week too, and they don't have to be accountable to me. But they got to be accountable to their families. They got to be accountable to whatever else they're doing, because I think that's just important for us to be thinking about. And when we would get a rain day, I would have, let's just say we made a big push, had to work Saturday and Sunday, and we have 10 people hired, and I'm trying to make this big push, and I got 5 of them because it's a weekend, and I can't get anyone to come, and then it starts raining Monday morning. Guess who shows up? There's no work to do, and 10 people show up, and they're talking. They're just doing exactly, they're marinating mm-hmm. in what's going on, and they're talking about it. And there's nothing that, as a business owner, there's nothing that mm-hmm. Could irk me more than watching that. And that's a little bit, I'm going to flip it on you a little bit, because what happens business community today is you have that marination that you're talking about going on at 3 p.m. mm-hmm. and people, there's a point where we're optimally productive mm-hmm. and then you kind of, there's that point of diminishing returns. And I'm keenly aware of when you hit that point, you got to change course quickly. Cause if you just start marinating in that conversation, the unproductive, you may do the work, but it may take you 3 times as long.
Yeah.
So I'd rather you go home, do whatever you got to do, go to your therapist, go to your family, go do your whatever, go get a workout in, come back and finish your work at an optimal level.
Yeah. 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 I can see that.
Where I was going with it is, I'm a big Zig Ziglar fan.
Okay.
I love his work. And he talks about, and a lot of people are talking about now, the power in words and the words we use and how we use them. So, like, if you keep telling your kid, stop being bad, well, now you're putting a negative word bad into his head. You should rephrase that as, let's start being good and see how you're using the word good versus the word bad. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when we're just constantly focused on mental health, let's talk about mental health. How's your mental health? Well, now it has a negative connotation to it. And that's what I think you were kind of getting. Yeah. That's how I consume that.
My wife, too, in Washington. I mean, I think my mission, as you said earlier, would be to make it a positive thing. Because mm-hmm. as I brought it up to our senators, and Tiff was like, that's negative. You can't talk about that. And it's like, well, it doesn't have to be.
True. Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
I think the more we talk about it, what I'm saying is that it's like anything else, where there can be too much or too little, or how it's used, or it's used in a wrong way, or it's misused, or whatever. Yeah. I think there's scenarios where the mental health conversation has to happen more,
mm-hmm.
and then there's scenarios where it maybe needs to cool off a little bit.
There's some bad actors out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and people taking advantage of it and whatever else. And that's just kind of the things that come along with anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's kind of like, we used to joke when COVID basically got over, for a year, people still used it as an excuse to do whatever they wanted. You know, I don't want to go to the game, COVID.
Yeah, right.
I want to go to the game, COVID. I mean, it didn't matter. Yeah. You could. All you had to do is say COVID at the end of the sentence, and you were free to do whatever you wanted. And I think that's maybe a little bit of what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's one of those things where it's like there isn't any one good answer here. Like, you know, when we ask the question, like I asked you the question, you know, do you feel like sometimes it's over dramatized? Can it get in the way? Like, there isn't really one solid answer to that. Like, the answer is yes and no, you know, and the same, all the good things that we were talking about, the answer is yes and no, you know, we have to find some kind of good balance with these. Does that make sense?
Yeah. At some point you are being a little shit. You need to knock it off and you need to hear that.
When you were talking about the Zig Ziglar thing, you know, I was thinking that when you said that, like, okay, let's try to figure out ways to be good. Like, okay, you can only do that so many times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At some point, you got to be like, quit being bad.
You got to stop being a shithead, and you got to help me out here.
Like, you don't have a choice anymore.
But that's when you have to bring it up a level. I mean, like, what is your normal vibe? And then let's take it up.
That's where I might need to journal more like Kyle, because I try to play it cool, Then finally, like, I just...
Boom.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, I'll just...
Well, where I see the hardest part for me is parenting. You know, the kids will, you know, do things and... It's like, oh, I haven't read this in a book yet. You know, it's like, what do I do here?
Yeah. And I think what I was getting at, the more and more I think about it, I start realizing what I was thinking in my mind is that saying we've talked about a few times about, you know, weak men creating bad times and, you know, the bad
strong
times
men,
creating,
good times.
You know, strong men and strong men, good times, and, you know, that whole cycle.
Times, yeah.
And
barnyard, blah, 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 blah. He goes, strong man makes stronger man stronger. He's making fun of his dad in that one.
That's trying to say it. Yeah.
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 Disney.
But I feel like, I guess what I was getting at earlier is that we're at a point in society, at least here in the U.S., or at least in the areas that I live and interact in, or that I see on the news or whatever, that we're in those times with, you know, they're bad times with weak men. We're in that, we're on that, that downslope. So it makes me feel like, man, I don't know that we need to be on the grand scheme of things catering to this weak issue. Right. It's more that we need to wake people up and be like, toughen this shit out. Let's go and let's make this a better place.
Eat more eggs, and I don't give a shit if it's grass-fed or corn-finished beef, but have a steak, goddammit. Go bang your wife.
There you go.
Boom, there it is. Tied up the whole podcast.
But I'm willing to admit that that's not, as I said earlier, there's not only one way to do this. I can see where this fits in and where it has to be a part of the conversation. Yeah. I just feel like I don't know, just some of the things that I run into, I want people to be careful about overdoing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, focusing on it. Like, you don't want to focus on negative things.
I mean, focus on some of it. You got to fix some of this stuff.
Sure, of course.
I don't know. I feel like we've just got, I feel like in our society, we have got so many things so good that it gives us the opportunity to worry about things that we wouldn't normally have to worry about.
Yeah, time. We that 3.5 days that I talked about, the American culture wants a 3.5 day work week. Well, what are they doing the other 3.5 days?
Yeah.
They're thinking about negative things, potentially, politics, you know, whatever it is.
Which is compounding mental health issues.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. And last thing I was going to ask you, and I know we're just about done here, and you had touched on this when you were talking about, like, your daily devotions and things like that. Does your spirituality play into how you handle your mental health and how you would recommend folks consider their mental health?
You know, it's not universal. For me, it's paramount. I think I lead with spirituality. There's another book called The 12-Week Year. So hear that again, 12-Week Year. And it's how to create space in your calendar with your family, with your job, whatever it is. And it lays out a pretty neat plan. And for me, spirituality is important. You know, I think that's one of the first areas that I want to make sure that I'm doing daily. And then, you know, everything else can kind of fall behind that. Now, I know I'm, you know, saying that publicly and I'm proud of that, but it's not, you know, it may not be for everybody. But that's an area where it's going to be very important in my life. And then honestly, probably followed by health, you know, physical health, water, you know, all of those kind of components, yeah. Because, you know, kind of like the old airline adage, if you, you know, if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your neighbor. And I think that I was going to comment earlier on your content about, you know, just grinding through some of that. And another principle in this kind of some of these business groups that I've gotten fortunate to be part of is, you know, discernment about fake deadlines. You know, in a lot of ways, people around us will create these kind of fake deadlines, like you have to get this done for me, you know, or you know, and you can get caught up in that culture of run, if you're unhealthy. Yeah. Well, I think when you're come at it with the right perspective, you put things in order. You get the things that need done in the right time, and you generally are gonna perform better in general. Yeah. At least in my life, that's what I see. I can't speak for anyone else in that.
No, I just think that's an anxiety, you know, creator, making these false deadlines or feeling like you're, you know, you need to get this done for somebody or whatever.
Right, and here's an example. Just yesterday, had a lot of stuff late morning. I like to work out over lunch, and I had a lot of stuff that was running me over the lunch hour. And I kept telling myself, I can't stop. I'm working. It's working too good. Mm-hmm. But I was also starting to get a little brain fog, a little bit of like, I needed to keep going. But I also, my habit kicked in. I went and worked out. I came back completely clear. Mm-hmm. I mean, I came back in a better place, deciding to keep with the habit. And again, that's maybe not for everybody, but it does for me. That's how I live my life.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. And I ask about the spiritual piece because I don't know. I feel like as we get older, I hear more and more about it, and I feel like a lot of the things that you were talking about that you do. And, you know, that you hope for people and the things you try to bring in your life and think about this and think about that and have this planned is something that I've heard about, you know, churches and congregations like doing for people. And I feel like a lot of people have gotten away from that. We were working, a buddy of mine and I were working with this church in Lincoln a couple of weeks ago doing a barbecue for them. They just wanted us to come out and help barbecue. So then naturally we're sitting around, we're having some conversations with those folks. And we have since then, we're going to go back, we're going to do podcasts with them, these kinds of things. But one of their biggest things was that our congregation is shrinking. They said people are having less kids. People are bringing less kids to church. People just aren't coming anymore. And I can see a world where a lot of those things that you were talking about, people used to get by way of their church, and now they don't.
Yeah.
And now there's like a lot of these lost souls, so to speak, you know, without getting too dramatic about it.
Yeah, no sense of a community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Know, so you revert to other things.
Well, and I don't know the answer to this, but I drive by the school on a Sunday and I'll see completely full parking lots, 400, 500 people at club this or club that, and I'll go up to my church and there's 30 cars there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is, but I'm not sure that's the way it was intended.
And what you're referring to is what I think I've seen a lot as well, if I'm on the same page, as these athletic clubs is what you're saying, mm-hmm. like these sports teams that are sucking up people's lives. And that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about another podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's interesting.
We did volunteerism. That was pretty good. I touched on that. Yeah. I think I was here for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. We did. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that was very good.
I think that was the most recent one. Yeah.
Could be.
So anyway, I don't know. We're a little over an hour now, so we probably should wrap up. But it's definitely interesting. Hopefully, it rings a bell for some folks. I mean, I think a lot of folks are very interested in this topic and are going through some of the stuff their own. I hear it every single day on social media, especially in the farming world. Mm-hmm. There's so many people behind these mental health causes and, you know, helping farmers and whatever else. You know, the veterans, all of the you know, the organizations that we're involved with the veterans and mental health, you know, the 50 Mile March, we just got back from their first meeting for the year. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
That was the first thing Jay wanted to talk about.
I can't quote the exact statistic, but when we were part of that national group, there was some statistic, and I want to say it was 16 or 19% of people in the U.S. are happy with their career choice currently. And I don't quote me on that number, but it was shocking to me because I was generally happy with what I was doing. I'm generally happy with what I'm doing now. And I was shocked by that. But if you go into a factory, and so my point is, and I'm kind of bringing this out to a broader audience because I do feel like, yeah, there's the veterans in the farming community and rural community, yeah. But I think there is a larger issue of some kind of lack of motivation or lack, and maybe it's that complacency component.
Yeah, the community actually being part of it, feeling like this company does need you. You know, right, like you put in an honest day.
For sure, yeah. Another piece that I'll add, and then we can close out, but just to kind of reiterate what you're saying there as far as the general public, I volunteer at our local fire and rescue, and I'm an EMT, so we're going on these calls, you know, consistently. We have about 300 calls a year, so we're seeing somebody every other day, you know, usually a little bit more often than that for whatever reason. And I can tell you the majority of the folks that we haul to the hospital, they're having some kind of issue, and I guess I would say mental issue, but in a lot of cases it is mental issues. There's something going on there. But even that, it's our responsibility to document what kind of medications are you on, what are your allergies, you know, these kinds of things. The majority of folks are on some kind of mental health medicine. The majority of the people that we take into the hospital, and I'll go back to say that's not just when we're doing mental health calls. This might just be somebody broke an arm, and we just need to know. What are you on?
What are you taking?
And the overwhelming majority are on some kind of mental health medicine.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, what else was I going to talk about? So the sponsors, I wanted to ask you or point out, I think coming up on the YouTube channel here pretty soon is our initial Barn Owl video that we did.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Will that be coming out?
Yeah.
I mean, you're the guy.
Yeah, I got that raw footage.
You're the guy. Yeah.
You want me to add a bunch of fun graphics, some music, and all that fun stuff?
Doesn't need to be too crazy. I think it's just that intro video we wanted folks to see because we're starting to work with this Barn Owl company. So we're trying to introduce folks to this Barn Owl company. This is these surveillance type cameras. Solar powered, you can put them anywhere on your property. They're cellular connected.
Yep.
We're learning about them just as the listeners are learning about them. We really don't know anything about them. We just did a box opening.
We're gonna find out because I'm taking mine up to Boyd County, and if it's gonna work up there, it's gonna work anywhere.
I wonder. We have cameras up there. I don't know what brand they are, so we might have to look into
check
this.
It
Where
out.
Are these guys out of?
Be interesting to see. I don't know. I mean, they shipped them to us from somewhere in the U.S., but I don't know where they're at.
They are USA though. Yeah. I did see that.
But again, like I said, we're learning, and this is by design, we're learning about them as the listeners are learning about them. So these folks aren't paying us. They just sent us some product. We said, we're going to try it. And if it works and we like it, we're going to want you to pay us and have a continued relationship. But if we don't, then we're just going to tell people what we think.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, yeah, we're good. Let's roll.
Okay.
So that original unboxing video has been basically put together. So that'll be on YouTube. Yeah. Folks, check that out.
And then you'll have to put them up.
Yep. Then we'll have them up. Yeah, we're gonna have footage. We're gonna have we're gonna have the, you know, how all this worked.
Yep.
We're gonna give the full review.
Yep.
And then lastly, on our website, farmfocused.com, FOCUSED.com, use code CommonFolk. You get 20% off. And also, right now, we'll probably put this one out this week. We've got a sweater weather promotion.
What does it say with coffee?
Yes.
All right. Yes.
So if you go to the website and you purchase a farm-focused branded hoodie or crew neck, you will automatically get added a bag of farm-focused coffee in your shipment.
So good.
Blueberry
pecan. I actually got a request for that coffee. No kidding. Like yesterday, someone was asking me for it.
It's great.
I know it is.
It's great. So folks, check that out. What else? That it?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, thanks for coming again, man.
Thank you, guys.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Kyle.
Looking forward to doing it again. Yep. All right. We'll see you guys.
Peace. Later.